Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Psachim Daf Hey. We are 9 lines from the top of the Amid, at the end of that line, beginning with the word Dvei. Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana. So the Bismedesh of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught us the following Braisa. The Gemara told us that the din of Tashbisu applies on Erev Pesach. Abaye presented an arrangement of psukim which indicate that one is meant to abolish his chametz starting from Chatzos on Erev Pesach. The Gemara here provides several alternate sources to the same concept, beginning with Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana to Torah Sei Braisa, which says, Matsinu Yodalet Shenikarishin. So he's coming to support Abaye's approach that indeed, Ach Bayoim Harishin Tashbisu Bayom Rishon is referring to the day before Pesach Yudalit. In fact, we find elsewhere that the word Rishon is in reference to Yudalit. Where do we find that? Shenema Barishon Bar Ba'a Asar Yom Nachodesh. The pasuk says Barishon Bar Ba'a Asar Yom Nachodesh Be'erev Toichlu Matzos. So Barishon is referring to the 14th day of Nisan. Here as well, Ach Bayom Rishon is a reference to Erev Pesach. Now, although the actual strict meaning of the pasuk, Barishon Bar Basar Yom Nachodesh, Barishon is in reference to the first month, Bachodesh Harishon, but Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel learns that since the pasuk omits the word Bachodesh Harishon, it only says Barishon, so apparently there's a dual meaning to the word Barishon. It's a reference to the actual 14th day, which is described in the pasuk. So here we see that Barishon is the 14th day of Nisan, Erev Pesach, and therefore when it says Ach Bayom Harishon Tashbisu, Sarim Batechem, you want to abolish that sar from your homes, from your properties. On the Yom Rishon, what is Yom Rishon referring to? Yudalad Nisan, Erev Pesach. The Gemara provide several other sources to this concept that there's a mitzvah to remove your chametz from your possession. You want to be free of chametz starting from Chatzos on Erev Pesach. Continues the Gemara, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Rishon Dimikara Mashma. Without this whole arrangement of Abaye with those two psukim, where we conclude that apparently Bayom Rishon is a reference to Erev Pesach, says Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, the pasuk inherently is referring to Erev Pesach. Why Rishon Dimikara Mashma? The word Rishon in itself indicates the day preceding the other days. Shenamar Damakra Harishon Adam Tavolid? Were you born before Adam? Adam is referring to the first person, Adam Rishon. So Harishon. Harishon, meaning did you precede Adam? So here as well, Ach Bayom Rishon means the day preceding those days of Yom Tov, which are mentioned earlier in the Pasuk. The Pasuk begins, Shivas Yomim Matzos Techelu, that's Yom Tov itself. Then Ach Bayom Rishon, Tashbisu, you meant to abolish that chametz on the Yom Rishon, the day preceding the aforementioned 7 days. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. So it's about 8 lines up from where we're holding in the Gemara. Rashi beginning with the words Rishon Dimikara Mashma. This is Rav Nachman Yitzchak speaking. But Lav Rumya Dekra Dodi. Without that contradiction between the two psukim that was presented by Abaye, it in itself, the pasuk in itself, Mashma Rishon Dimashmos Dekra, Shu Yaim Kaidim Lachal Shiva Dekra. Apparently, the word Rishon in the pasuk is a reference to the day before those 7 days mentioned in the pasuk. Since the pasuk begins Shivas Yomim Matzos Techelu and then proceeds Ach Bayom Harishon, what does Rishon mean? Rishon Koidem Lamasa Kamar. It's referring to the day preceding those 7 days. Harishon Adam Tevalid HaKoidem. So Harishon means did you precede? Did you do it before? HaKoidem La Adam Harishon Nilanto. Were you born before Adam? So Harishon we see means precede here as well. Ach Bayom Harishon is the day preceding those 7 days that you meant to eat matzah. Continues the Gemara. Ela me'ata. So if you adopt this approach that Harishon means the day preceding the other ones, the pasuk says you meant to shake the loaf on the Yom Harishon. Hachinami. Here's what you're going to say. Rishon Dimikara Mashma. You meant to shake the loaf the day preceding Yom Tov, Erev Yom Tov. Shani Hosam. The difference over there is because Techsiv Usmachtem Lefnei Hashem Alekechem Shivas Yomim. The same pasuk that begins Ulkachtem Lachem Bayom Rishon concludes with Usmachtem Lefnei Hashem Alekechem Shivas Yomim. And we learn Ma Shvi, just as the reference to number 7 is Shvi L'Chag, seventh day of Yom Tov. Shivas Yomim is referring to the seventh day of the actual Yom Tov. Af Rishon, likewise, when the pasuk begins, Ulkachtachem Chamba Yoyma Rishon, Rishon Lechag, is the first of that seven-day sequence of the actual Yom Tov, but not referring to the day of Erev Yom Tov. Hachanami, here as well, when it comes to abolishing the Sor, Mitzvah of Tashbisu, Ksiv Achba Yoyma Rishon Tashbisu, Shivas Yomim Asis Techelu. Remember, that pasuk also makes reference to the Yom Tov itself. Begins by Shivas Yomim Matzis Techelu and proceeds to Achba Yom Rishon. So it's connected to things. Just as the Shivas Yomim is in reference to the actual 7 days of Yom Tov, perhaps by Merishon is referring to the first day of that 7 day sequence, and not to Erev Pesach. In Cain, if that would be the case, Nichtav Kro Rishon. The pasuk would simply say Rishon without a hey. Horishon, Lomli, why that added hey? Apparently it's a drasha. Shema Minola Kedam Moron, apparently it's referring to the day before the 7 day Yom Tov period. So Achbayim Harishain is referring to Erev Pesach. Ihochi, if so, Hosam Nami there as well by Lulav Harishain Lomli. Why does the pasuk say Ulkachtam Lachem Bayim Harishain if it's not referring to Erev Sukkos? Vesu and another kasha, Hosam Dichsiv over there by Sukkos. The pasuk says Bayim Rishon Shabbosain, or Bayim Hashmini Shabbosain. You meant to refrain from Malach on the first and the eighth day. So we have the word Bayim HaRishon, Eimar Rishon Mikara Mashma. Let's propose that it's in reference to the day before Sukkot. Because it says HaRishon. He meant to refrain from Malacha the day before the 8 day Sukkot set. Shani Hasam. The difference over there is Damakro Uvayim Hashmini Shabbosan. Because the Pasuk says Uvayim Rishon Shabbosan, Uvayim Hashmini Shabbosan. And we connect the first to the eighth. Mashmini Shmini Dechag, just as the eighth, is certainly in reference to the 8th day of the actual Yom Tov, Av Rishon, Rishon Dechag. Likewise, the day described with the word Bayim HaRishon is in reference to the first of that 8 day sequence of Yom Tov, and not referring to Erev Yom Tov. Says the Gemara, okay, but if so, HaRishon Lamali, why the word Ha, the letter Ha, attached to Rishon? If there's nothing, there's no special meaning here, if it's not referring to the day before Yom Tov, why is the Pasuk use the word Ha Rishon? Says the Gemara, Lemuti Chayla Shomayit. It's coming merely to exclude Chol HaMoed from the Issur Malacha. So only in the first and the eighth day you meant to refrain from Malacha, but on Chol HaMoed itself, you may do Malacha. That's why the Pasuk adds the letter Hey, which is coming to exclude Chol HaMoed. Says the Gemara, Chol HaMoed, Chol HaMoed, which is Mutar B'Malacha, you need a Hey for? Merishon Shmini Nafka. That is already derived from the fact that the Pasuk says, look, the first and the eighth day, you meant to refrain from Malacha. Apparently, all days in between is Mo'amurta. Isrich, there is a need for an additional lesson here. Torah needs to add a hey to teach us that Chol HaMoed is the Mutar B'Malacha. We would not learn it from merely the fact that the Pasuk says Rishon and Shmini. Why? Sankadai Dechamina, there would be room to think, Hoyol Dekasa Rachman U'Vayayim HaShmini. Since the Pasuk says, Bayayim HaRishon and Shabbosan, U, with a Yvav, U'Vayayim HaShmini, perhaps it's coming to add on the previous sequence of days. On the eighth day, which is added to the previous day, you meant to refrain from Malacha. So apparently the previous days are also included in Issur Malacha, including Chol HaMoed, Kamash Malon. That's why the Torah finds it necessary to say Bayim HaRishon, which is a meal, to exclude Chol HaMoed. Says the Gemara, so leave out the Vav, which creates confusion, and leave out the Hey, which clarifies matters. You don't need nor the Vav, nor the Hey, right? Because the Vav indicated that the Shmini gets added to the previous days, meaning that the Chol HaMoed has the same status as the Shmini, and the Hey of HaRishon was meant to clarify things. No. Only the first and the eighth, Asav Malach, but not Chol HaMoed. So leave out the Hay and leave out the Vav. That's one kasha. Vesu, Hasam Dechsiv Bayom Rishon Mikra Kodesh. Yelochem, we actually have another pasuk that uses the word HaRishon regarding refraining from Malach on Pesach. Bayom HaRishon Mikra Kodesh, Yelochem. So Rishon the Mikra Mashma. Perhaps HaRishon is referring to the day before Pesach. That you meant to refrain from Malacha. So now we have nothing that we can use that pasuk for. And in fact, we have three pesukim that seem to be difficult. We have Ulukachtam Lachem Bayim Harishan of Lulav. We have Bayim Harishan Shabbosain, indicating the Isra Malacha on Sukkos. And finally, we have this most recent pasuk, Bayim Harishan Kodesh, speaking about observing Yom Tov on Pesach. So we have three references to the word Harishan, which we can't really explain. Says more Ella Hani Shleisha Rishon Miboyle. Apparently, the reference to the word Rishon, to the term Rishon, in these three contexts, is not coming to teach us that the halacha of Netilas Lulav of Shvisa Fam Halacha applies to Erev Yom Tov as well. No, the pasuk calls them Rishon for a reason, to teach us a lesson, a drasha. Miboyle look at the Tani Dever Bishmol. We need it for the Braisa that was learned in the Beis Medrash Rabbi Shmuel, which uses it for a drasha, to teach us a lesson. Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, b'schar shloisha, in the schar of Klal Yisrael observing the three things that are referred to as Rishon. B'schar shloisha Rishon, which were those three things we just mentioned. Shaking your lulav on Sukkos, abstaining from Malacha on Pesach and on Sukkos as well. So in the schar, the reward of those three things is zochel shleisha rishon Klal Yisrael merits. Three things that are called rishon. So they correspond to those three things, lulav, Pesach, and Sukkot, which are also called rishon. What are the three things that they are zoche? Lahachris zarishal Esav, to obliterate the descendants of Esav. As the Marshal explains, this is referring to, this corresponds to observing the Yom Tov of Pesach. We know that the subsequent exiles, the Oli Golias, are rooted in the initial Golias of Mitzrayim. So when one keeps Pesach properly, he is emerging Yetzias Mitzrayim. He is emerging from that first Golias, which is a root cause of all the other Golias. So we are Zoicha to emerge, eventually to emerge from the final Golias. Golias of Esav, Golias of Edom, in which we are present right now. So that corresponds to observance of Pesach. Levini Beis HaMikdash, by observing Sukkos, sitting in the Sukkah, which are reminiscent of those clouds of glory that Ani HaKavod, which is Hashem's abode, we are Zoicha to Bini Beis HaMikdash. And finally, as other Mepharshim say, L'Shmei Shem Mashiach, this is a reference to shaking Lulav, in which you combine all the elements of Klal Yisrael together, as the Gemara in Sukkah, I believe, says, that each part of the lulav corresponds to somebody else, the Talmud Chacham, the layman, etc. So, by combining everyone together, that indicates shleimus and achdus, and we are zeicha to the gula shleima, which comes through avas Yisroel, avas chinam, lushmei shel Mashiach, the essence of Mashiach. Now, what's the connection? Where do we find that these three things that we are zeicha to are connected, are related to the word Rishon? So the Gemara explains now. Lach rezar shel Esav, we are zeicha to obliterate the zera of Esav. The chesiv ayetza Rishon admoini kuloi kader seyar. This was when Esav was born. He was called HaRishon. So we see that Esav and his children are called Rishon. Ulebinim Esa Migdash, where do we find that that's called Rishon? The chesiv kisei chavayid moroim emei Rishon mekayim Migdashenu. So we see that the Mokah Migdash is a reference to the word Rishon. V'lushmei Shel Mashiach, where do we find that is connected to Rishon? D'chsiv Rishon Letzion, Hinei, Hinam, and the pasuk concludes, V'lushalayim Memaser Etein, it's a reference to the coming of Mashiach. So according to this approach, Rachman Yitzchak's approach, Ach B'yoyim HaRishon, is certainly referring to Erev Pesach, because HaRishon, just as in the pasuk of HaRishon, Adam Tavolid, is referencing the day prior, preceding. And here it's referring to the day before Erev Pesach, before Pesach. So on the 14th day of Nisan, on Erev Pesach, we meant to abolish your chametz. Mitzvah Shaspisu applies then. What about the other Rishonim mentioned elsewhere? Three in total. They are coming to teach us a drasha. If you properly keep those mitzvahs, you're zeicha as a reward to those three things, which too are called Rishon. Continues the Gemara with another source that the mitzvah Tashpisu applies Erev Pesach. Rav Amar, mihocha. I'll find you another pasuk. Lo yisishchat al chametz am zivchi. Pasuk says, you're not meant to be shaychet your carbon Pesach al ha-chametz with chametz in your possession. Lo yisishchat ha-pesach v'adayin chametz kayim. Apparently, during the zman of Shechitas Pesach, you're already meant to be free of chametz. And when does the zman Shechitas Pesach commence? Chatzos on Erev Pesach. Apparently, that is the zman of Tashmisu. Ve'im kol chad v'chad ki shachit. How do you know that there's a standard time frame for all Klal Yisrael? Chatzos Erev Pesach. Perhaps the Torah is giving it to each individual according to his preference. When you shecht your carbon, whether it's the chatzos, whether it's an hour or two later, you're meant to be free of chametz. So perhaps it's not a standardized time frame for all. Says the Gemara, Zman Shechita Merachmana, it is logical, there's a svar to say that if the Torah links the two things, the mitzvah of Tashbisu is linked with the Zman of Shechita, there's a svar that it's universal. It's not individualized. The Torah set down a standard Zman. The Zman Shechita of Karim Pesach, which is Chatzos, is also the time of Tashbisu for all of Klal Yisrael. We found likewise in a brayso, ach ba yom rishon tashbisu sarim bateichem. This pasuk is referring to erev Yom Tov, that on erev Pesach you're already meant to remove your chametz from your possessions, from your properties. Or einoy elo b'yom tov atzmei. Perhaps it's only referring to Yom Tov itself. Ayin ba yom rishon is the first of the seventh day of Pesach. Tamad loymar leisishchat al chametz dam zivchi, which teaches us leisishchat es haPesach, adayin chametz kayim. So during Shechitas Pesach, you're meant to be fully free of chametz. Zman Shechitas Pesach is from Chatzos on Yudalit. Apparently that too is the time for Hashbasas chametz. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. And it's interesting, Tosfos points out, we have Rabbi Shmuel here, who sources the halacha from the Shechitas of Pesach, in contrast with the Tana Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, which we began our Gemara with today, which had another source. So this says, we find many times that Rabbi Shmuel himself perhaps takes a different approach than the Tana Dvar Rabbi Shmuel, a Braisa taught in his base medrash. So in any case, we have another source that Pesach, that the Chametz is meant to be removed from your properties on Erev Pesach. That's because the Torah links it to the Zman Shechitas Pesach, which is on Chatzos, on Yudalad B'Nissan. Rabbi Kiva, I mean, you don't need that source. I have another source. Hari Oimer, Ach b'Yom Rishon Tashbisu Serim Bateichem. So that's the pasuk that we're talking about constantly. That b'Yom Rishon, you meant to remove your chametz. When is that? Uksiv kol malacha leishasu. The pasuk tells us that on Yom Tov, you're not meant to do a malacha. Umatzino lahav arashi av malacha. Now we know that burning, using a fire to burn, is an av malacha. It cannot be done on Yom Tov. Apparently, hashbasas chametz, abolishment of the chametz, is meant to be done before Pesach, because how could you burn your chametz on Pesach itself? Now, Tosfos asks, well, if I have benefit from burning, that should be mutar, because it's a tzorech. And he says, for instance, you can use the coals of the burnt chametz. So why can't you do that on Yom Tov itself, if you're having hanah from it? So Tosfos says that, firstly, it's a svara that the Torah is not referring to a specific case where a person intends to have hanah from the coals. The Torah is a general halacha, and referring to even a case where a person perhaps doesn't have hanah from those coals, so there's no tzorech here, and it would be asar Yom Tov. Number two, he says that since you can't have hanah from the actual burning itself, it's only going to result in creating those coals, which will give you hanah, that would not justify making a fire on Yom Tov. So that's Rabbi Akiva's mocker. You can't say that you meant to burn your chametz on Pesach itself. Burning is a malacha, and it's also on Yom Tov. So apparently, ach b'yom rishon tashbisu is referring to when? Erev Pesach. Rabbi Yossi Omer, ein tzorech, there's no need to have a different pasuk. Rabbi Omer, ach b'yom rishon tashbisu serim bateichem, and that's referring to may erev Yom Tov. How do I know? Perhaps it's referring to the actual Yom Tov. Tam loyma ach chalak. Ach b'yom rishon splits that day into two, which indicates that you can have chametz in your possession during part of that day. part of the day is okay. Part of the day, you're meant to be free of chametz. V'ibi yomtov atzma. Apparently, it can't be speaking about yomtov, because if it would be speaking about the yomtov itself, mishari, can you have chametz in your possession during part of the first day of yomtov? Certainly not. Ha'iskesh hashbasas or lachilas chametz. We learned this yesterday, that the mitzvah of hashbasas or is connected. There's a hekesh from that mitzvah to the mitzvah, to the isra of achilas chametz. And likewise, there's another connection of achilas chametz, achilas matzah. The isra of chametz to the mitzvah of eating matzah. So all connected, all linked together. Hashbasa to achilas chametz to achilas matzah. And we know that achilas matzah takes place and is applied during the first moment. As soon as it gets dark, there's a mitzvah achilas matzah. So likewise, hashbasa sa'ar is activated at the first point of night, the first point of Pesach. So you can't say that the pasuk ach bayim rishon, which tells you that you can have chametz during a portion of that day, is in reference to the actual days of Yamza, because you may not have chametz even for a moment on Pesach. Apparently, says Rabbi Yossi, what is the pasuk of ach bayim rishon referring to? Erev Pesach. So up at the chatzos, you may have your chametz. Past chatzos, you must be free of chametz. So in conclusion, we learned that the pasuk which says ach bayim rishon tashbisu is telling us to get rid of our chametz starting from chatzos on Erev Pesach. How do we know that? We have no less than 6 sources, according to Abaye. Apparently, it's referring to Erev Pesach because you can't get rid of your chametz on Pesach itself. You're meant to be fully free of chametz throughout the entire 7-day period. Dei Rabbi Shmuel has a support to Abaye because we find that the word Rishon is in reference to the 14th day of Nisan, Erev Pesach. Rabbi Nachum Meitzel tells us Rishon means the day preceding. Preceding what? The 7 days of Pesach. Rabbi says, you must be free of chametz during the Zman of Shechitas Pesach, which is starting from Chatzos and Erev Pesach. Rabbi Akiva says, Havara, burning is a malacha, which can't be done in Yantav. Apparently, it's being done before Yantav. Rabbi says, Ach Bayim Rishon indicates that you may have chametz in your possession during part of that day. You can't be speaking about Pesach itself. Apparently, it's referring to Erev Pesach. And Ach Bayim Rishon Tashbisu is telling us to abolish our chametz, beginning from Chatzos on Erev Pesach. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Shmamino. And Rabbi Kiva told us. Rabbi Kiva told us that evidently the din of Tashbisu applies to Erev Pesach, because on Pesach itself you may not burn your chametz, which is a malach. Says Rav, apparently from Rabbi Kiva we can derive 3 halachis. Number 1, Shmamina, we learn from him, Ein bin chametz el estrefa. The only way to get rid of chametz is by burning. That proves that it can be done on Pesach itself, because you may not burn on Pesach, but if there would be another way to get rid of your chametz, for instance, feeding it to your dog, throwing it into the sea, then that can be done on the yontif itself. So apparently, Rabbi Kiva holds the only way to properly get rid of your chametz is by burning. Ushmamina, we derive from it another halacha. Have oro lechalak yotzasa. Rashi explains it like this. The pasuk tells us a general description by Shabbos, lo sasako malacha. Not meant to do any malacha, which includes all the 39 malachas. And then we have another pasuk which singles out burning, lighting a fire on Yom Tov. What's the purpose of singling out the act of burning, of making a fire? So we have machlokes elsewhere between Rabbi Yossi, who says that apparently the Torah is teaching us that lighting a fire is not really a malacha like the other malachis. That's why the Torah singles it out. Rabbi Nosson says no. The pasuk is simply trying to indicate that every malacha is a separate entity. And the fact that the Torah singles out burning, singles out havara, it's merely to demonstrate that each malacha is an entity on its own. So for instance, if a person should do many malachas, he brings many chatois, 5 malachas, 5 times a karma chatas. But certainly havara, burning a fire, is just as much a malacha as all the other ones. Says Rav, apparently, from Rav Akiva we can derive that havara lechalek yotzasa. The reason why the Torah highlighted, singled out havara, why was it yotzasa? It was merely lechalek, to teach that each malacha is a separate entity on its own. But certainly havara is just as a malacha as everything else, and therefore it would be asar yomtiv. Tosis actually says that it's from the fact that Rav Akiva calls it a av malacha. He says, Matsinu lahav orashi av malacha. which indicates that he holds that Havara is no less a Malacha than anything else. Or, says Taisa, another Pshat, if it wouldn't be a proper Malacha, then it wouldn't be Asar Yom Tov. So either way, we learn from here that according to Rekiva, Havara, burning, is considered a proper Malacha, and therefore it's Asar Yom Tov. Ushmamina, the third thing we learn is, Loyamrina, we don't say Hoyel Vuhutra Havara Letzerech. Since one may light a fire for the sake of Ayichal Nefesh on Yom Tov, Hutra Namish Letzerech, just as it can be used for food preparation, it can also be used for anything else, which there is actually a shita like that in Maseches Beitzah. Apparently Rekiva does not agree with that, and therefore you would not be allowed to burn your chametz on Yom Tov. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, we have two psukim which discuss removal of chametz from your properties. Number one is Shiva Asyamim, So'ir lo yimotzi botechem, during the 7 days of Yom Tov. So'ir, which is a form of chametz, should not be found within your homes. Mal Talmud Lema, what's the point of this pasuk? We already know this from another pasuk. V'alei kvar nemar, lo yeirua lecha so'ir, v'lo yeirua lecha chametz b'chol gvalecha. So'ir and chametz are not to be seen throughout all your properties. So what's the point of that first pasuk? The Gemara will explain that each pasuk is unique and has its own lessons, and therefore both are required. Explains the Gemara, l'fi shenemar, lo yeirua lecha so'ir. Since the pasuk uses the word lecha, lo yeirua lecha so'ir, we learn from there, shelcha yateraya. It's only your own chametz, which you may not see on Pesach. Aval ateraya shel acherim v'shel gavaya, but you may go ahead and see. Chametz that belongs to others is a reference to goyim. So chametz that belongs to a goy you may see on Pesach. V'shel gavaya, likewise, chametz which belongs to hegdish. So since lo yeirua lecha so'ir, it's coming to teach you a kula, two leniencies. It's only your own chametz which you may not see, but chametz which belongs to a goy or hegdish you may see. Yochal yatman, perhaps I would stretch out a bit further and allow a person to actually hide his chametz. He's not seeing it. Lo yira, you may not see, but if it's hidden out of view, perhaps you can do that. Or v'yikabal pikdoines ben anochri, perhaps a person can accept a deposit, a chametz deposit from a goy, for which he accepted responsibility. He has a chrayis for the safeguarding and security of that chametz. Perhaps you can do that as well because it belongs to a goy. Perhaps you can have that in your possession on Pesach. Talmud loymar loyimotze. That's why we need the pasuk of loyimotze. So pasuk number one, loyimotze, which indicates chametz may not be present in your homes, even if you don't see it, it's hidden away. Even if it's the guy's chametz. But since you have accepted the responsibility and achrayis for that chametz, you may not have that chametz in your possession. So that explains why we need pasuk number one, lo yimotzi v'teichem, to teach us both these chumrays. Number one, even if it's not visible, it's hidden. But it's yimotzi, it's present. And number two, that if it's within your possession, you've accepted achrayis, responsibility for this chametz. Even if it's not really yours, it's the guy's. You may not have that in your homes. So that's pasuk of le'yimotzi v'teichem. And then the pasuk of le'yirua lecha chametz is actually teaching us two kulas. One leniency is that it's only if it's yours that it's a problem. But if it's a chametz of a guy, you may have it in your possession. And number two, if it's a chametz of hegdish, you may have it in your possession. So in short, we have two psukim. Lo yimotzei bevateichem is teaching us two chumres, and lo yira lecha chametz lo yira lecha so'ir is coming to teach us two kulos. Continues the Gemara. And the next statement of the Braisa will actually be a bit confusing, which the Gemara will tend to a bit later. Ein li ela benachosh lo kibashtei. Perhaps this restriction, this halacha that you may not accept deposits, chametz deposits from a goy for which you've accepted responsibility. Perhaps that only applies to a nachi shalei kibashti, a nachi who you don't dominate, who you don't control. He's not your laborer. Ve'ein shoyrim b'chatzar, and he's not residing with you in the chatzar, in which case you don't really have a close association with him. In which case, his chametz is not considered like yours. So perhaps it's only over there that it's aser. You dominate. He's your laborer, he's your worker. Or he actually resides with you in a chatzar, within close proximity. How do you know that there as well? It would be asr, which teaches us that the isr applies there as well. And it seems a bit difficult because, if anything, the latter description of the nachash kibashtoy mesharim chabachatzer is all the more reason for isr. So why would we need a special pasuk to tell us it's asr? More later will tell us. Perhaps we switch things around. Okay, we'll get to it a bit later. Let's go back to the brisa. The brisa continues bivatechem. So the pasuk tells us shivas yomim lo yimotze sor lo yimotze bivatechem. That was pasuk number one. In your homes, says the Gemara, perhaps one may not have chametz in his home, but out in the property, which is beyond the home, will be mutter. Ainly elu shebivatechem. Perhaps one may not have the presence of chametz in your homes, but beboyrois, out in the pits, besichin, some of the other type of pit, ma'aris, these caves, which you don't really reside, it's not your place of dwelling, so it's not nearby, perhaps you can have chametz there. Menayin, how do we know that there as well? You must remove your chametz. Tamalayim b'chol gvulecha. So that was the second pasuk, which tells you that even in all your boundaries, and all your territories, you must be free of chametz. So again, we have two psukim. One speaks about l'yimotzei v'vateichem. That pasuk teaches us two chumres. Chametz may not even be present, even if you don't see it. Number two, you can't have chametz which was deposited to you from a goy for which you've assumed responsibility. And the pasuk there is referring to the homes. Pasuk number two, lo yiro l'chasorv lo yichal chametz b'chal gvulecha, speaking about territories and boundaries, actually teaches us two kulas, that only if it's yours, but if it's a chametz of a goy for which you assume responsibility, so you have no connection to it, it's not considered to be yours at all, or if it's the chametz of Hegdish, then you're okay. Says the Gemara, how do we know that the two kulas of pasuk number two, allowing Hegdish and Goy, and the two chumris of pasuk number one, disallowing hiding chametz or accepting deposits from a Goy for which you assume responsibility, how do we know that these two things, the kulas and the chumris, will apply to homes and territories alike? Perhaps pasuk number one, which gives us the two chumris, and make reference to homes, perhaps only applies to homes, which is your place of dwelling. Perhaps pasuk number two, which provides two kulais, only applies to territories beyond the home. Says the Gemara by Dain on the Omer, I can still argue and say, Bebatim oiver mishal bal yira bal yimotze, in the homes, where it's your place of dwelling, then we're more machmer. You have all these surim, bal yira, bal yimotze, or bal yatmin, you may not hide, bal yikabo, pigdoinis man anachri, may not accept deposits from a goy for which you've assumed responsibility. That's because it's the home, it's your place of dwelling. However, in the territories beyond your home, these halachas wouldn't apply. And likewise, the kulais that the territory connects to territories perhaps only applies to territories. Begvulin shalchoya teroya, perhaps only in the gvulin out beyond the home, we have the leniencies that lero lecha shalchoya teroya, only if it's yours is problematic. Aval teroya shalachirim shalgavai, but we allow you to see chametz which belongs to goyim or hegdish. So perhaps the chumras apply to homes and the kulas apply to territories beyond your homes. How do you know to mix and match? Menayin litain es omer shal zebezeh, mishal zebezeh. How do we know to apply the chumras of the homes to the territories as well? The kulas of the territories to the homes as well? Talmud Omar, we have gzereshava, sor, sor, gzereshava. We connect it by using the gzereshava formula, nemer, sor, rebatim. We find that the word sor is mentioned in reference to homes. And likewise, you find the term sor in reference to territories. And the pasuk says, so we connect the two things. They're all one and the same. Just as the homes, which have the word sor connected to them, We have all the Yisurim. Don't see the chametz. Don't have the chametz present. Ubal yatmin. Nor can you go and hide the chametz because it says layimotze. Ubal yikavol pekdonis manochrim. And likewise, you can't accept deposits from the goyim. Again, we're speaking about deposits for which you've assumed responsibility. So just as the homes have that restriction, afs oir hamer begvul. Likewise, the territories where the word soir is mentioned as well. We connect it to the homes and we say that all the chumras apply there as well. So now we know that the two chumras which apply to homes apply to gvulin as well. Again, which two chumras? You may not hide chumras. Number two, you may not accept a secure deposit from the goy. Now likewise, regarding the two kulas that are applied to gvulin, umas or ha'omer begvulin, just as the gvulin, the territories beyond your home, which contains the word so'er, right? It says, le'yiro l'cha so'er, b'chol gvulecha. Just as over there, shalcha yateroya, the word l'cha indicates, it's only yours that's problematic. You can't see your own personal chametz, ava ateroya shalacherim, shal gavaya, but you may see chametz which belongs to goyim, or chametz which belongs to hegdish. So we have two leniencies applied to territories. Af so'er ha'omer b'batim. Likewise, homes, which also contain the word so'er, have the same halachas. Shalcha yateroya, it's only your own chametz that's problematic. Av lateroya shalachem shalgavaya, but you may see chametz which belongs to Gaim or Hegdish. So in short, we have pasuk number one. Lo yimatzei so'er lo yimatzei b'teichem, which indicates two chumras. You may not have possession of so'er, even if it's not seen. Lo yimatzei, it can't be present. So even if it's unseen. Number two, we learn that you can't accept pikdoinus, deposits from a goy, if you've undertaken achrayis and responsibility for the safety and security of that chametz, said like it's partially yours. So that pasuk is in reference to homes, to chumras. Pasuk number two, in reference to gvulecha, your territories beyond the home, provides two kulas. Lo yiro l'cha so'er teaches you that only if it's yours, but if it belongs to somebody else, belongs to a goy, and again we're speaking that you didn't assume responsibility for its chametz, so it's totally his, or it belongs to Hegdish, in which case you're totally disassociated from it. There's no concern whatsoever. And as the Gemara tells us, we use the Gzereshav formula to connect the two things. Homes, territories are one and the same. The same kulas apply all over, the same chumras apply universally as well. Omar Mar, so we just learned, and here the Gemara is going to elaborate on that cryptic, seemingly confusing statement in the Brice. Omar Mar, ain li ela b'nachash le kibashte. So we can't accept pikdoinis, deposits, from a goy, and perhaps that only applies to a goy over which you don't over whom you don't have jurisdiction, you don't dominate, don't control him. Ve'enish sharim chabachatzer, and doesn't live with you in the chatzer, so it's not close by. He's not your associate. You're not really connected with him. Only then it's asa. Nachash akibashti. However, let's say we have a guy who you dominate. He's your laborer, or some explain he's a ger toishav, a sort of partial ger, over which Yisrael have shlita and domination. So in that case, perhaps since you say, associate with him, you're close to him, or v'sharim chabachatzah, he resides with you in the chatzah, in which case he's your associate, and perhaps his chametz is like yours. You know, people in the chametz share with each other. So perhaps since you have control over him and his chametz, perhaps in that case it would be mutter. Minayin, how do you know that it's aser? Tamalim leimatzei, that there as well it's aser. Klapi laya, which direction are you going? If anything, the most recent description of the chametz belonging to the guy who you associate with, who's close to you, would be, if anything, a reason to make it more stringent and more aser. Amar Abaye Eifach. Apparently, we have to reverse the sequence of the Braisa. So the Braisa is saying like this. One cannot accept a chametz deposit from a nachri. We're speaking where the Yisrael assumed responsibility for their chametz. Now, what type of nachri are we speaking about? Perhaps it only applies to a nachri who's your associate, who you dominate. Perhaps one who's living with you in the chatzah. So in these cases, since he would grant you access to this chametz, perhaps it's considered like it's your chametz. But if he's totally disassociated from you, you have no relationship with him, how do we know that there as well it would be aser? And the answer is lo yimatze, that in all cases the iser would apply, because we're speaking that you took responsibility for the chatzar. It's as though it's yours. Rava amar lo yimatzefuch. No, don't reverse matters at all. And the Brisa is saying like this. Vareisha koi. This clause of the Brisa is referencing the halacha we learned earlier. The pasuk says, you may not see chametz l'cha, which teaches us only if it's yours. Can you not have it in your possession? Shalcha yataroya. Aval ataroya shel acherim v'shal gavoya. You may see chametz which belongs to others, meaning non-Jews, v'shal gavoya or hegdish. In what case does this apply? This kula, what type of goy are we speaking about? Perhaps it only applies to a goy who you don't control, who's not your associate, and doesn't live with you in the chatzar, in which case you're not connected to his chametz. However, how do we know to apply this kula even to a case of a goy who's your associate? You control him, you dominate him, or he's your fellow chatzar member. How do we know that even that type of chametz can be seen by you on Pesach? Again, we're speaking that you didn't accept any responsibility for that chametz. So it's a kula. How do we know that it applies even in this case of a goy with whom you have a relationship? Talmud loyim lo yimatzei. The answer is lo yimatzei. That even this case would be mutter. It says in 1 second, lo yimatzei is coming to tell you heter? V'hai tana mahad heter. We have a tana who's looking for a heter. V'nasav l'krol yisur, and he provides a pasuk of l'yimatze which indicates isur. How does that work? The answer is mishum shenemar l'cha l'cha terei zimni. As Rashi explains, we find twice in the Torah, once in Pashas Re'e and once in Pashas Bay, that the Torah uses the word l'cha. L'yiro l'cha sa'ir. What's the point of the duplicate l'cha? Apparently, one of them is meant to be applied to this pasuk here, of Sor lo yimotzei voteichem, to teach us that even if the chametz is so close by, it belongs to the goy with whom you have a relationship, even in that case, it's mutter, because it needs to be lecha, it needs to be yours. In this case, it's not yours, nor did you accept responsibility for that chametz. That's why it's mutter in this case as well. So there really doesn't seem to be enough kamina la halacha between Abaye and Rav. It's just simply a question of how to interpret the Brais. According to Abaye, we have the Chumrah, that one cannot accept a deposit from a Nachri if he assumes responsibility for that deposit. And the Brais is telling us that it applies in all cases, whether or not you enjoy a relationship with a guy. Whereas Rav says that we're speaking about the Kula, that one can have the Chametz of the guy of which he doesn't have responsibility. There's no achrayis for the security of that chametz. It's totally not his. It's the goy's. So that he can have on Pesach. And the Brais is teaching us that it applies in all situations, whether or not you enjoy a relationship with the owner of that chametz. Continues the Gemara of Amar, so we learned earlier, the Brais began by telling us that l'cha indicates it's only a problem if it's yours. If it belongs to a goy, then it's okay. But the Brais says like this, Yochol Yatman v'Kabel Pekdonis Manachem. Perhaps you can hide chametz because it's not visible, or accept deposits from a goy. Talmud Lomi Leimatzah. Leimatzah teaches us chametz can't be present in your property, in your reshus. We seem to have a contradiction. Ha'amris Reisha. Didn't we just say in the first portion of the Brisa, Shalcha Yataroya? L'cha teaches us that it's only your own chametz which you may not see. Avolata Roya Shalachirim, but you can see the chametz of a goy. V'shal Gavay or Hegdish. So we have an apparent contradiction. Can you or can you not? Like Kasha, the answer is, depends on the context. Ha, the Kavalech writes. The Brisa which says that you cannot accept Pikdoinus is speaking where the Yisrael assumed responsibility for the safety and security of that chametz. So now he has an interest, he has a financial interest in that chametz. It's as though he has a partial ownership of that chametz. Therefore, you can't have it in your possession. When the Brisa says you can see chametz which belongs to a guy is where the Yisrael did not assume responsibility for the security of that chametz, in which case there's no connection to him. It's the guy's chametz. Therefore, there's no concern. Ki hada amar lo Rava levnei b'chayza, as Rava instructed the residents of Mechayza, which was the town of Rava, be'iru chamira divnei chela mibataychu. So they used to have chametz, which was designated to supply the army soldiers who were in that town. So the fellows of the town would have chametz in their homes, for which they were responsible. So if it gets lost, they have to go replace it. Therefore, it says Rava biiru chamir, remove the chametz divnei chelu, which was designated for the soldiers. You have to remove that chametz from your home. Why? Kivon di ilu mignav v'ilu misvid. Because if that chametz would get stolen, v'ilu misvid, it would get lost, what would happen? Who would be responsible? B'shusaychen koi. Or b'isil shlumi. It says, oh, it's yours, and you have to go and compensate for it. K'dilchon domi v'asr. So that makes us consider like it's yours, and it's a chametz of Yisrael. So you must remove it from your homes before Pesach. So we see this concept that if Yisrael assumes responsibility for the security and safety of the chametz, it's as though it's his, and he must get rid of it before Pesach. So in conclusion, we have two psukim. One pasuk says, lo yirua lecha, which is actually talking about having chametz anywhere in your property. And we learn from the word lecha two leniencies, two heterim. Number one, that if it belongs to a goy, that's okay. If it belongs to a hegdish, it's okay because it's not lecha. Rava teaches us that this heter applies in all cases, even if the chametz belongs to a goy who you control, dominate, or resides within the chatzah, because we have the extra word lecha. We have the other pasuk of leyimotzei, and that's referring to the chametz being present in one's home. We learn two chumras from there. One cannot hide chametz on Pesach because it's still present, it's leyimotzei. And one cannot accept a pikadon, a deposit, a chametz deposit from a goy. And as we just concluded, it's only a concern provided he assumed responsibility for the safety of that chametz. And Abai tells us that this iser of accepting deposit from a goy applies even from a goy who you don't control, like Yibashta, or does not reside in the chatzar. Even in this case, since he assumed responsibility for the chametz, it's as though it's yours, and you cannot have it on Pesach. And as Gemara learned, we connect the two psukim, meaning we have a gzer shava, that the kulais that applied by gvulim applies to batim as well. The chumras that applies to homes applies to the other territories as well. Continues the Gemara. So we just learned that if the Yisrael was mekabel achrayis for the chametz, it's as though it's his, and you cannot have it on Pesach. This works well according to the shita that holds davar hagoyrim lamamayin kemamadami. Something which brings about a financial gain and benefit is regarded as though it in itself is money. What does this mean? So Rashi explains classic cases: an animal, a korban, person was magdish an animal, it's now hegdish, but he's responsible for the safety of that animal. If it gets lost, he has to replace it. Now, should somebody go ahead and steal an animal? Does he have to go and pay kefil? Halacha is that only if you steal from a hedit, a non-hegdish entity, do you have to pay back double. But if you steal from hegdish, there's no din of paying back double. This animal is really hegdish, but the owner has a chrayis, has to look after that animal. He has to replace it if it gets lost or stolen. So this is a davar hagoyrim lamamon. It can bring about financial benefit, meaning holding on to this animal provides financial benefit for its owner. So the question is it considered to be partially his because he has that financial interest or not? Our Braisa, which indicates that assuming responsibility for something grants you financial interest in the item, it's as though it's your chatzar, seems to be following the shita that holds that davar hagoyrim lamamon kemamadami. So ha'nichel amad omar, it works well according to that sheet. The omar ha'davar ha'garim l'mamik ma'medami. Having a financial interest is considered as though it's yours. El l'mad omar lav k'ma'medami. Michael and Maymar, however, according to the other sheet that says that this type of situation is not considered. It's not considered as though you're an owner. If that's the case, why is there concern with holding on to chametz of a guy? Shani hacha. Difference is that the pasuk over here says the omar lo yamate. So the pasuk is explicitly telling us that we regard this chametz as though it's yours. So unlike the general concept of davar hagorim l'mamon, which perhaps is not considered like your money, Torah here is explicitly telling us, when it comes to chametz from mamon or machmer, and we consider it as though it's yours. Ikedami, there's another version of this discussion. The fact that the pasuk has to say lehimatze to indicate that something of which you have responsibility is considered as though it's yours, doesn't that indicate that generally speaking, we don't consider it yours? So honichel man d'amar, it works well according to the shita d'amar davar hagarim l'mamon lav k'mamon d'amar. It's not considered like your mamon. Haino the itzrich lo yimotze. That's why the pasuk needs to spell it out. Lo yimotze. That over here, it's considered as though it's yours because generally it's not. Elo l'man d'amar k'mamon d'amar. However, according to the other shita, which is actually shita of Reb Shimon, holds that in this type of situation, it's as though it's your money. Lo yimotze lamali. So why does the Torah have to go and spell it out? Lo yimotze. Isn't it obvious? It's a universal concept. If you have responsibility for something, you have a financial interest in it, it's as though it's yours. That's why Yisrach, there is a need for the Torah to spell it out here. Why? Sankadai dechamina, there would be room to think. Since when the chametz is still here, hadn't gotten lost, nor stolen, it's still present, what happens to it? Hadar be'enei. So it goes back, intact, to its owner. Perhaps, since it's still here, and it's going back to the owner, we don't consider it to be owned by the Yisrael. As Rashi explains, unlike the case of the animal which was stolen, so when the animal gets stolen, now the owner is responsible to repay Hegdish. He has financial loss from the act of Geneva. So as a result of that, we treat the Geneva as though it was directed at the owner because you caused them financial loss. So because the animal was taken away and now he has to compensate for it. However, in the case where the animal is here, it's intact, or in this case where the chametz is still here, this very object is going right back to its owner. I have no connection to it. I have no financial benefit or gain from it. I have no interest in it. So perhaps this case would be different. And in this case, we don't deem it to be the property of the Yisrael. La b'shu seikoi. We don't consider it to be owned by the Yisrael because this object is meant to go right back to the guy. Kamash malon. That's why the pasuk v'liyimotze comes and teaches us that no. Even in this case, we're actually going to return the chametz to the guy. It's also because you have a financial interest here. We have personal gain and benefit from having this chametz intact. So since you have that interest, because you're responsible for it, it's as though it's yours, it's within your reshus, and you must free yourself from this chametz before Pesach. Okay, time for a brief chazor of today's daf. The pasuk tells us that, ach b'yom harishon, tash bisu s'orim b'teichem. So b'yom harishon, you meant to abolish the s'or. What does that refer to? It says the Gemara is referring to beginning on chatzos, on Erev Pesach. We have no less than 6 sources for that. Abai explains, the pasuk ach b'yom harishon, apparently speaking about Erev Pesach, because you can't get rid of your chametz on Pesach itself. You're meant to be totally free of chametz throughout the entire 7-day period. There, Bishmol have a support to Abai. We find that the 14th day of Nisan is referenced to as Rishon in another pasuk. Rav Nachum Weitzchak says, the word Rishon means the day preceding this 7-day sequence of Pesach. Rava says, you may not have chametz when you shecht the korban Pesach. So apparently you must be free of chametz beginning from Chatzos on Erev Pesach. Rav Kiva says, you can't burn your chametz on Pesach. Apparently you must do it before. Rav Yezi says, ach b'yom rishon indicates that part of the day you may have chametz. Apparently it's referring to Erev Pesach because on Pesach itself, certainly you must be totally free of chametz. Rav says, from Rav Kiva we learn 3 things. You must burn your chametz. Number 2, burning is a malacha. And number 3, it's not allowed if it's not for the sake of food preparation. We continue with the Braisa, which brought 2 psukim regarding abolishing chametz. Lo yira l'cha, speaking about other territories, not your home. And l'cha is teaching us that you can hold on to chametz, which belongs to goyim or hegdish. Rabbi tells us it applies even to the chametz of a goy who you dominate and control, even a goy who resides with you in the chatzah. We have the pasuk of liyamatzei, which is referring to not having chametz present in your home. That teaches us two chumras. You may not hide chametz, nor can you accept a deposit from a goy if you assume responsibility for that chametz. Abaye tells us, the iser of accepting deposits applies even to a goy with whom you have no relationship, like Yibashtoi. He's not with you in the chatzar. And we concluded with Rava, who instructed the members of his town to get rid of the chametz, which was in their homes, which was designated for these soldiers, but for which they assume responsibility, and therefore is considered like theirs.